I brought one of Pam's oven gloves with me. There's no place where there's more hassle and heat than in the kitchen, so her oven glove says, keep calm and pray. Keep calm and carry on. So that became a slogan many years ago now, particularly with all the crisis around wartime, and the whole thought was when there was crisis around you and all sorts of things falling apart, to encourage people to keep calm and to kind of carry on life as if it was normal, to carry on. But I think as we were just sharing very helpfully, it's not just about that steely upper British lip kind of self-control. There are key ways in which we keep calm as Christians, and at the very heart of that is prayer. So we're going to think a little bit today about keep calm and pray, and particularly from the life of Jonah. So in chapter 2, we're going to take three key things with regard to keeping calm and praying. To keep calm and pray wherever you are, wherever you are, whatever your circumstances, to know what it is to keep calm and pray. In verse 1, it says that from inside the whale, Jonah prayed. Not inside church, not in a prayer meeting, but inside the whale, in the midst of the whale. So what does it mean to keep calm and pray wherever we are? Then secondly, we're going to think about to keep calm and pray however you feel. You know, sometimes the times when we least feel like praying are the times when we most need to pray. And so in verse 2 it says that, an amazing expression is that, in my distress I called out to the Lord. The very time when I was feeling so anxious, so distressed, that was the time when I called out to the Lord. So keep calm and pray however you feel. And the third thing is going to be, keep calm and pray whenever it may be. You may think it's too late now to pray, it's all over, it's the end. But it's never too late to pray. And here from the life of Jonah, we have this amazing example of when he says in verse 7, and we just read those words, that when my life was ebbing away, it was all over, it was too late, yet my prayer rose to you. So keep calm and pray wherever you are, however you feel, whenever it may be. Father, we pray now that as we unfold these scriptures together, you'd speak into our lives. Every one of us here, whatever circumstances we're facing at this time, however anxious we may feel, whatever pressures on our lives, help us to find a calmness, a peace that passes understanding through prayer. In Jesus' name. Firstly, keep calm and pray wherever you are. Sometimes we associate prayer just maybe in a special prayer meeting or when we're in church, but what does it mean to discover the power of prayer wherever we are? I remember a few years ago with one of my neighbors, I pray for our neighbors each day. I pray for different neighbors each day, and I've been praying for this particular neighbor. It was a Saturday, and it was a Saturday afternoon, and I was just going on the road when he was coming towards his home, and he was carrying some carrier bags. We'd been shopping, and this particular neighbor, John, is a very nervous person who finds it very difficult to keep calm in any circumstances. So every issue of life is always a source of anxiety and concern for him. And he'd just been shopping, and he was coming back a nervous wreck. He wasn't too sure whether he should buy a big tin of baked beans or a small tin of baked beans. He wasn't too sure whether this week he ought to have fish or, in fact, whether it ought to be mince. And the decisions of just shopping had left him absolutely shattered. And here he is carrying his shopping bags back. And I've been praying for him that day, and particularly praying about keep calm and pray. So I said hi to John, and he said, oh, Rob, he says, good to see you. And we got talking together. It was a Saturday, and so he knew I went to church, and he was talking a little bit about, you know, what I was doing the next day. And he said, do you think you could help me? I said, what is it, John? He said, well, I've got some papers that need someone witnessing the signature. I said, oh, I'm sure I could help with it, John. So I went in with him, and he got these papers, and he spread them out. And I said, what's it about, John? He said, well, I'm thinking of buying a house. Goodness me, if John struggles about buying baked beans, you can imagine buying a house was catastrophic. And so John says, and these are the papers, and I need someone to witness my signature. I said, oh, I'll happily do that, John. So he spread the papers out, gave me a pen. I was about to sign. He said, wait a minute, Robbie. He said, wait a minute. He said, do you think I'm doing the right thing? He said. And, And he was shaking all over as he's asking me. And I said, well... And then he said this amazing question, almost statement, he said to me, he said, Rob, he says, what do you do when you've got difficult decisions to make? I said, John, do you really want to know? He said, yes, Rob, as if I'd read a book, you know, on the six clues to the big decisions of life and how you make them, how to be calm and carry on in the midst of crisis. I said, well, what I do, John, is I pray. He said, really? He said, what, you pray about buying a house, he said. He said, about things like that. Yes, I pray about everything. Oh, he said, Rob, he said, when you go to church tomorrow, do you think you could put one up for me and just pray about this house? And I said, well, I certainly will, John. I said, but do you know, I could pray for you now. He said, what, here, he says, in my place? I said, yeah, you know, we can pray wherever we are, wherever we are. Oh, he said, okay, he said, if you don't mind. So I put my hands on these papers, my pencil in the hand, and put my hand on John's shoulder, and I prayed. And I just prayed that God would guide him with regard to buying this house, and that God would help him to find a calm, a peace in this situation. And as I finished praying, there was a kind of little tear in John's eye. He said, oh, he said, I've never known anybody pray like that about something as ordinary as this, he said, and I don't think anybody's ever prayed in my home before. I said, John, you know, we can pray wherever we are. In fact, the amazing thing is that God longs to guide us in every area of our life. In fact, you know, the Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world, and in him is life, and that life is the light of men. He longs to guide us. He said, so where does it say that then? I said, it's in the Bible. And I pulled out from my little back pocket. I carry them everywhere. There we are. Love is the bridge. It's a copy of John's Gospel. And he's got little highlighted verses. I said, there we are, John. You know, here it is on the first page. In him is life, and that life is the light of men. And even here, see that little highlighted one, John, where it says that to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, born not of the flesh, but born of God. He said, what does that mean? And there I explained to him what it meant to become a Christian, to be born of God's Spirit. Oh, he said, I said, John, why don't you just take this and read it? I said, do you know, I'd love to be able to explain more to you about it. He said, would you, Rob? He said, I've got 6 weeks before I'm due to complete on this house. I wouldn't mind. So every week for 6 weeks, I went in and we went through John's Gospel. You know, though, the end of those 6 weeks, the very last week, I'm praying with John, and we took that little expression from John chapter 1 and prayed with him as for the first time in his life. He asked Jesus to come into his life. Believing as the Son of God, he loved him and gave himself for him. And that day, it was a Saturday again, 6 weeks later, John experienced what it is to be born of God, to be born again of the Spirit of God. And we prayed again there in his home. You know, wherever we are, in fact, John, I often said John is now a senior partner, a qualified dentist. I'm not sure I'd like John to have in those days done much on my teeth, but it's changed his life. He's a leader in a local church and a keen Christian. But you know, one of the keys was to believe that we can pray wherever we are. This week, you'll meet people in situations who long to find a calm, a peace, or going through crises in their life and situations, just like in those war years where it says keep calm when there's an air raid going on or something else. But it's not just keep calm and carry on, it's keep calm and pray. This week, you'd have an opportunity, you know, if only we recognize it, with somebody to pray with them. You know, somebody who's going through a difficult situation. It's not just to say, you know, I'll pray for you, but what it means to pray with them, wherever we are. See, Jonah, it says these words in chapter 1, in chapter 2, verse 1, that from in the whale or in the fish, Jonah prayed. It wasn't in church. It wasn't in a prayer meeting. It was in the whale. Goodness me, how could you pray there? I mean, that's the very problem you're facing. That's the very situation. But that's the time to pray. It's when you feel you're swallowed up with circumstances of pressure and hardship and difficulty around you, but discover wherever you are the power of prayer. Keep calm and pray wherever you are. But also keep calm and pray however you're feeling. Now you may be saying, Robert, I just don't feel like praying. I know I ought to, but I just don't feel like it. And sometimes, you know, when we're going through difficult times, stressful times, times even where we're wondering whether God is there. I was with somebody who's been a Christian for many years this week, and they're just really struggling. They said, "Rob, to be honest, I'm just struggling my faith even to know whether God really is there." How do we pray when we're in the midst of times of distress? And that's what verse 2 of chapter 2 says. "In my distress, I called out to the Lord." However we're feeling, even those times when we pray and we're not quite sure whether we're breaking through in prayer. You know, sometimes you can be praying and you're really struggling to sense whether it's really making any difference. And those are the very moments. I've often found the times when it's been hardest to pray have been the times when I've seen the most significant answers to prayer. I'm sure I shared with you a story many years ago where it was the first time I was going to go to India, and I've been involved in work on some of the housing estates, and it was a missionary that had invited me to come and to do a DTS, a training school, where I was going to, over about 5 to 6 weeks, be teaching some young Indians who were going out into North India to some very challenging situations. And so I'd agreed to go, not thinking too much about the cost and all to be involved. We were living a very simple lifestyle. We lived of the gospel, and God provided week by week what we needed. But I put a little deposit down on an airfare, and then the day came where I got a letter from the travel people saying I needed to pay the rest of the fare by about 2 days' time. And suddenly I became aware, goodness, we normally just need to trust God, and seen some amazing answers to prayer often, whether it was just a box of food for that week, but there were simple things usually, but now this is quite a big thing. And I got to the very day before and still didn't have the money for paying the fare. So I decided I was going to spend the night in prayer. I'd spend different times when I had particular times in my life where I'd given a kind of prayer vigil. In fact, just to encourage you, there's a prayer vigil going to go on here in Bristol on the 23rd of May, just before the Pentecost special thing on College Green. So it'll be at the Cathedral and at St. Stephen's if you're interested on the 23rd of May. So I decided I'd spend this night in prayer. And the thing was, we weren't staying at home. In fact, we were staying with Pam's parents at the time. So I had to be a little careful because Pam's dad wasn't too enthusiastic about Christian things and that. And I hadn't even told him I was going to pray, but I certainly needed to make sure I moved around quietly. And often I like to pray aloud, and sometimes sing aloud even in prayer. But this is the middle of the night. And I must say, as I began to pray, I was really struggling. And by 2 o'clock in the morning, I was sweating. It's more perspiration than inspiration. You know, I was really, really reminding God that he called me to do this. It was his work. I was going to India to serve him, and he better sort of come up with the goods. And that kind of time when you're almost twisting God's arm and you pray as if you're trying to lay an egg almost. You've got to get something out, and I wasn't really getting through, and suddenly I felt that scripture come to mind: delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I still remember it was just about 2:15 in the morning, and I took that scripture almost as if it was God spoke it, whispered into my heart, and I suddenly felt, well, maybe it's not so important about whether I go to India or do this. The most important thing is that I do delight in you. And I remember just spending a few minutes worshipping. Just that you're the altogether lovely one, the fairest of 10,000, the bright and morning star. Lord, you've raptured my heart. Those words of scripture so often that just delight in the Lord. And as I was delighting in the Lord, it almost as if it took the pressure away. It was no longer important. It wasn't about God needing to answer that prayer and providing that money. It was much more important that I was in tune with him and delighting in him. And as I was praying and worshipping, it was only maybe about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I felt God say, in the morning in the post will be the answer to your prayer. But you know, it was so real by now, this sense of light, that it wasn't as if that mattered. It wasn't as if that, and I'd even forgotten. I wasn't even at home, so I wasn't get the post anyway in the morning. And in the morning, I went downstairs. This is at my in-law's home, so I wasn't expecting any post there. And there were three letters on the mat. The first one was to Mr. and Mrs., my in-laws. The second one was to my father-in-law. The third one was an airmail letter, a blue airmail letter, one of those old ones you used to seal up as a sheet. And I turned it over and it said to Rob Scott Cook at my in-law's address. And I looked with amazement. But actually, as I opened it, it was from a friend that I'd been at university with and hadn't seen him for years. And he was working overseas. Rob, I'm working overseas, but it's in a country where it's a closed country and I've not been able to go to church. So I've saved up all my tithes and I decided, because God put on my heart, I'd send it to you, but I don't know where you're living now, so the only address I've got is Pam's old home address, so I'm sending it there and hoping that it'll get to you. Sure enough, in that airmail letter was a check for the exact amount for that air flight, for that day that I was now into. But one of the things I felt God saying to me, that sometimes when you're struggling in prayer, sometimes when it's almost hardest to pray, those are the times when often I've seen the most significant answers to prayer. And today, this morning, you may be like that. You even struggled to get here today, wondering whether you wanted to go to church, or whether you wanted to be here. Even when we sang some of those hymns or songs, you just didn't feel like it. And sometimes we don't feel like praying. Sometimes we're in the midst of a time of anxiety and distress. Jonah 2 verse 2 says, in my distress, not after my distress, in my distress, I called out to the Lord. Keep calm and pray however you're feeling. Keep calm and pray wherever you are. Keep calm and pray however you're feeling. Finally, keep calm and pray whenever it may be. You may say it's too late to pray now. I've known that with people sometimes. Rob, I wish I prayed about this earlier, but it's too late now. Do you feel like that about something in your life? A circumstance for you or someone close to you? And you feel as if it's all over now, Rob, the end's in view. And here Jonah felt like that. Remember, he's in the whale. He's been under such distress, but now he feels as if his life is ebbing away. It's all over. It's too late now. And it says those amazing words in verse 7, that when my life was ebbing away, my prayer rose up to you. It's never too late to pray. Never too late to pray. Sometimes we struggle with prayer because we prayed something last week and we'd hoped to see the answer by the end of the day and it hadn't happened. And by the next day, we're feeling disappointed. By the end of the week, we feel as if God didn't hear the prayer or we've even forgotten the prayer we prayed. And by often the time when God answers the prayer, we don't even recognize the answer because we've given up on it and forgotten even what we prayed. What about if a day goes by, a week goes by, a year goes by? What about if 5 years or 10 years goes by? Can you remember some of the prayers you prayed 10 years ago that you thought they're never going to be answered? I doubt if you even remember them. Let me tell you a story. And as we mentioned earlier, I'm involved with the George Muller Foundation, or George Muller Charitable Trust, which has brought together all the different trusts now under that one umbrella. And, you know, it's an amazing work still today. We care for more orphans today than in George Muller's day around the world. What we call orphans of the world. So every developing country of the world, we care for many, many orphans around the world today. And the work in this country, locally, we particularly call spiritual orphans, where we feel that the need so often, it's not just about street children, though you do have some of those, but there's a whole generation of unchurched children who are like spiritual orphans, who never have any spiritual input in their lives. So we've been committed to reaching out in this particular Bristol region, 1 million people among those children, to reach every child, every unchurched child as well, a whole generation of unchurched children. And we do that particularly through schools and those three initiatives we particularly link with, which is called Open the Book on Biblical Literacy, Prayer for Schools, which is happening even now. This is the middle of a 2-week special national campaign of Prayer for School, where it's encouraging every school in this region of 1 million people, every school, primary and secondary, to be prayed for regularly by local churches in those communities. And then thirdly is what we call prayer spaces. So this week there's been some amazing prayer spaces going on in schools. The whole encouragement of how we may encourage a generation to understand the significance of prayer. Some years ago, there was a new director of social services came to Bristol. And when he arrived, it's not the current director, there's been a change since then, but when he came to Bristol, it was all new, and he was looking through the records of the childcare work in Bristol, and he was fascinated because he saw a whole list of children who were desperately needy children who were being cared for, but there was no budget against them. And he inquired about it and realized that they were being cared for, linked with the George Muller Foundation. And so he was interested, and he asked if he could come to Muller House. I remember meeting him. He'd only been in Bristol maybe a week or so, and he wasn't a church-going person, so he was asking, well, how do we manage to care for these children? And we explained that we still today believed in a God who heard and answered prayer. And it was through prayer that we saw God's provision. And therefore, we didn't receive local authority or even national government grants, even though often they were offered, but we encouraged that those funds were still used and ring-fenced for childcare work, but that we wanted to pray about what we were doing so that that very experience was a confirmation. It was the right thing to be doing, and God's provision in that was the way of God's confirmation of what we were doing. He was fascinated, a little incredulous at times, and but we talked again. Eventually, we left in good heart, and he was really interested. I asked if I could pray with him before he left, and he said that was okay, and I prayed with him. And as he was going out the door, he said, you know, there's an area of childcare work that we desperately need to see done. And hearing of some of your stories, he said, you would be so ideally placed with your experience and the things you've done with children to be able to do it. And he said, we've even ring-fenced and some money. He said, we could give you a grant for it. It was many thousands of pounds. And I smiled and said to him, well, he said, you know what the answer is? He said, I know. He said, but I tell you what, I said, I will pray and encourage. We meet together like this around this table. We sat in the main room around this table every day to pray in Muller's. And we will pray that if God wants us to do that work, that God will provide for it and provide in such a way that it would be an indication. So those of you who have read the story of George Muller, you'll have read many of those amazing stories of God's provision, but the provision itself being a confirmation. So we agreed to pray. He smiled as he went and said, okay. He said, but I'm afraid I need to know by 2 weeks on Thursday, because that's when we have our cabinet meeting to decide on this work. And so we prayed. We prayed the next day and the day after, and the day after, a week went by, and we'd had many wonderful answers to prayer, but nothing that was particularly linked with this situation or this nature of this work. And we came into the second week. You might guess, we went through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We came to Thursday morning. This is the Thursday, 2 weeks later, by which, if we were to indicate any interest, we were needed to show it. And we were meeting to pray, and someone came in with the post and said, oh, Rob, I thought I should share this for prayer this morning. It's a solicitor's letter. And the solicitor's letter went on to say, it was to the address to the George Muller Foundation, I'm delighted to tell you that enclosed is a check coming from an estate that's been left, and this has been left to the work of Muller's. And then it went on to say, there is a clause on the will that says that they would wish this money to be used for this area of childcare work, and described it. Now, the remarkable thing was that what they described as that clause of childcare work was the exact area of work that the Director of Social Services had just 2 weeks before said, you know, this is what we'd love to have done. But what is more amazing is this. Because you could have thought, well, maybe whisper got round, maybe somebody shared it over those 2 weeks. This letter went on to say, I'm sorry it's taken us so long. The person died just over 20 years ago. But there were so many clauses on this will in terms of relatives that lived in houses and it wasn't until they died and passed on, that it is not until today that we have been able to send you this check. In fact, he gave us the original amount 20 years ago, which wouldn't have been enough, but the accumulation on it had meant that now, 20 years later, to the day, with a clause on the will saying this was how to be used, was a fulfillment. You see, God's timing is perfect. And therefore, sometimes when we feel it's too late, it's never too late with God. It may be too late sometimes in what we thought was the way that God ought to have answered our prayer. When Jonah prays from in that whale, and he says, oh God, my life is ebbing away, but Lord, my prayer rises to you. Keep calm and pray whenever it is. Keep calm and pray wherever you are. Keep calm and pray however you're feeling. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the power of prayer. We thank you that in the midst of crisis, whatever we're facing, whatever the circumstances, when all hell may seem let loose around us, just like in those early days in war when there were war raids and just the slogan, keep calm, and carry on. But Lord, sometimes we feel we can't carry on. We've nothing left in human reserves. But we bless you for the power of prayer. Teach us to pray. For some of us here today, Lord, circumstance in our lives, where we are, help us to find the power of prayer, that peace of God that passes all understanding, to bring a calm to our hearts and minds. Help us, Lord, however we're feeling. For some of us, you know just how we felt coming in today. You know this week and the distress and pressure we've been feeling, the anxiety, the sleepless nights, just the tension we've been feeling. Lord, in my distress, I call out to you. Lord, even where we feel it's too late, help us to understand today, even here this morning, for someone here, Lord, may we be willing to ask for prayer, even as we give the opportunity of prayer ministry here at the end, Lord. For some here, may this be the time when they discover what it is to be calm and pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sure there'll be a closing hymn, worship, but if you'd value someone to pray with you, either while we're having that closing hymn or afterwards, I think we usually try and make sure there's some space over here, don't we? So I'm sure there'll be some folk available to pray with you, and I'd be very happy to pray. Also, if you'd be interested, I know there's lots of you over the years been interested in Muller's and some of that ongoing work. It's been amazing to see it grow now each year in terms of those partnerships around the world and locally as well. We have over 60 local churches that are in partnership with Muller's, including Alma here. So we have what we call a monthly prayer digest. If you're on an email, it's quite free, and if you'd like to get it, ask me about it, or just go on the Muller's website, and it's a little prayer digest. It looks a bit like your I've got one on me. I've usually got one in every corner. There we are. There's one. It looks a bit like your bulletin, but it covers every different part of the world and local church as well, and it covers different ones each month, but just things for prayer. It's on a daily basis, each day of the month, the first, the second, the third, etc. So it gives a chance just of partnering in prayer with that as well. Thanks for the opportunity being with you.